We're in Timothy today. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Chapter 2. And we'll find our place for a few moments there. Thank you for the water. I appreciate that. I may need that. And we finished up the first chapter, so we'll be looking into the second chapter. Timothy, a very popular book for church age happenings and church age doctrines. And it's a book that we can learn from. It's a book we can be fed by. And I realize that it's always working on us. Pastor was talking about he's still working on me. That was one of our favorite songs when we were coming along. The kids could all sing it, you know, and get them up around the piano or a guitar and sing, "He's Still Working on Me." And boy, I tell you, this book is still working on me. Amen. He's still working on me. So there are some things that we can be perfected by from the Word of God. And if I'm to understand the Scriptures correctly, pastors, teachers, evangelists were called and set aside as a gift to the church, Ephesians chapter 4, for the perfecting of the saints, for the edification of the body of Christ. And there's something to be said there because we do need to be perfected daily. I wish I could say I could give you a 3 months class on how to be a great Christian, then walk away and say, "Okay, you're there." But that's not how it works, because you got to daily pick up your cross and follow the Lord. You've got to daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down every day and walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the garden. And so would it not be unusual for us to say, "Well, I was saved back in 1962, and I'm as good a Christian as I've ever going to be, so I'll just do what I want." No, you can get better day by day by day by day. It's a perpetual working, and that's why we continually teach the Word of God to feed the church of God, that they may feast and feed on the Word of God. And then their soul is nourished by the supernatural manna that comes from heaven. 1 Timothy chapter 2, he says, I want to read those first 8 verses. "I exhort therefore that first of all supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." For, now it didn't say all men will get saved. His desire is that all men might be saved, or should be, or would be. He says in 1 Peter, or is it 2 Peter? Somebody can look that up and correct me later. 3:9, he is not slack, he is long-suffering to us. We're not slack. What? Somebody quote that verse. "He is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." Didn't say they all would, but he made a way that all could. There it is, there it is. "So who will have all men to be saved?" I know some people want to read there and say, "Well, at the end time, everybody's going to get saved." No, they're not. He died for all, made a way for all. And he says there, even in Peter, he died even for the false prophet, the guy that's going to go his own way anyway. So be careful. "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and not verity, and I'm sorry, faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting." So let me use those first 8 verses. And he's actually talking here about prayer. Now, he covers a lot of things, and we'll entertain the high points here. And if we were doing a word study, we'd look at every word, define every word. But I think the central theme of those eight verses of Scripture is prayer. And so the first part of 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a lesson, edification on praying. Now, we might ask, what is prayer? Prayer is a communication process that allows us to talk to God. He wants us to communicate with Him. What is prayer? Many people question what is prayer because they desire to pray but don't know how. Or they have an idea that, well, I've got to be like this or this or that or this. Let me remind you that Paul later reminds in Thessalonians to pray without ceasing. So there is a way for a child of God to be in a state of prayer throughout the course of the day, or at least on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, or maybe even more than that. Everything that you think and do should be seasoned in a state of prayer. And I'm assured, as I stand here, we don't know as much about praying as we should. Praying is not just, okay, get everybody up. I got it. That's praying. But be careful. There's more going on in a prayer meeting, or should be, than a lot of folks think. You can pray all by yourself in the most unusual circumstances, and you should. So let's look at this a little closer here this morning. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, a powerful verse of Scripture in the early church, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. So in the early church, they met for prayer, and when they prayed, God answered, and they were so intent and so in tune that the place shook with the presence of God. I'll never forget, I was in a tent meeting in Clodden, Georgia. I think Bonnie was with me. We were camped by a little pond. We were like 60s hippies. We had a Volkswagen with that rack on the top, a 1970 red Volkswagen with that rack on the top. And we pawned our kids off on somebody, a couple kids, and we went to Clodden, Georgia. And Brother Olaf flew in there in that Queen Air and landed that thing under the wires on that grass strip, and everybody knew he was crazy flying under electric wire. He come out there and he preached. Was that a tent or was that a cathedral? That was a cathedral thing. But it stormed and lightning and thunder, and it just happened to be when he got up there and was praying, man, I mean, that place was shaking. You say, what was going on? Well, some say it was just a thunderstorm. Others said it was Brother Olaf praying and God paying attention. Amen. I don't know what it was, but I was there. Can you imagine being in Alaska and praying the other day in church someplace and that place starts shaking? Oh, my. You say you think that's what happened? No, I'm just saying, think about that. To be so in tune with God, so intent with God, that you're praying and God says, I'll just shake this place a little bit. And that place begins to shake a little bit. Say, what is that? Something we don't see every day. Amen. So here, James 5:17, another powerful verse of Scripture on prayer. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now he was in tune with God, and he intently prayed, and the Bible is clear to explain to us that he was right with God. I think a lot of times when we're not exactly right with God, God don't answer our prayers maybe as quick as he would have if we were walking in the cool of the day with him throughout the course of our life. And a lot of times we don't even pray until something goes wrong in our life. And then all of a sudden we want prayer. And we try to pray and we don't know how to pray. And we say, "Preacher, show us how to pray. Can we pray?" Let me go back with this illustration. A few days, 2 weeks ago, pastor asked, and he was very gracious about it. He's a very gracious man when it comes to getting you to do something. He said, "I'd like some folks to pray, but I want you to fast because we're going to have a prayer meeting that Wednesday night." I don't know if you came on that Wednesday night, but a number of men and women had been fasting for 2 and 3 days. Now, I'm illustrating because it's in the lesson, and I'm illustrating with us. And when we came to church that Wednesday night, there was an unusual spirit about the whole service. Now, if you weren't here, you didn't get in on that. But I'm telling you, I've been around for a long time in doing teaching and preaching and all this kind of thing. And he called for some testimonies from the folks in the church that had been through some things. And we had a load on us to pray. And so we were coming off that fast. And when we sought the Lord and prayed, God didn't shake the place, but he gave a peace to those that came and made that service. I don't know if you were here. If you weren't here, you missed a unique service in that I think God was trying to show up a little bit, and only time will tell as he receives that petition. And it's still on my heart, and I still remember the needs of some of the needs. And so you say, what is that? That's just people praying, and in this case, fasting and praying. Now, fasting's not in our context here, and we'll talk about that another time, but we just giving about 3 or 4 verses on men that prayed. James 5:16, a verse you're familiar with, "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And that is, of course, the context of those folks that came before the early church, and they had physical needs. In this case, they were sick. And I want you to notice, when they called for prayer, they were so in tune with God and so right with God, they were able to confess their faults. Did you get that? Their faults, not their sin, their faults one to another. By the way, those were the elders of the church or the preachers in the church. I have a lesson if you want to get in on this. I'm teaching on deacons Sunday night. And if you need to audit that class and you don't know what a deacon is or what an elder is, what a bishop is, what a pastor is, what an evangelist is, I'm covering that very thing Sunday nights, and you're welcome to audit any class that we're teaching. But here he called for the elders of the church. Those were the men that preached the word of God, that fed the church of God. And when they got together, they were willing to confess their faults one to another. God told them they should, and then they prayed. And a lot of times we leave out a lot of stuff and then wonder why God didn't shake the place. Go a little further here. 1 Peter 4:7, "But the end of all things is at hand," and this is an admonition to all of us, "be ye therefore sober." Yeah, nothing like having a great need to sober a person up. "And watch unto prayer." So watching for what? What am I looking for? Well, number one, you're looking for the answer. Number two, you're watching for Christ. And you should be in a state or a season of prayer. And that's what the lesson is. That's what the admonition is. That's what the edification is. We need to pray. We don't only want to pray on Sunday morning. We don't want to only pray when we get our food. We want to pray and be in a season of prayer throughout each day that we might walk with the Lord. So there are types of prayer, and types of prayer, he says in our text, watch it in verse 1, I exhort thee in 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, let me deal with that, supplications. Now these words, and remember every word of God is pure. Every word of God needs to be considered. Here the word supplication is the action of asking or begging for something earnestly or humbly. Quote, he fell to his knees in supplication. Have you ever gone to prayer like that? Have you ever fallen prostrate before the Lord, maybe in the privacy of your own home or wherever you could get alone, and let's say in your own personal prayer closet someplace, closet being a private place, and you prayed with supplication? That means you humbly got before God, and kneeling, a kneeling position is a position of humility. A lot of times the man of God, before he preaches, will kneel behind the pulpit, say, what's that all about? Well, it's a testimony of humility as he pours out his heart to God to help him do something that no normal human being can do, and that's preach or teach the Word of God. You say, why? Because God, if God doesn't show up, it's vanity. Vexation of spirit. So, humbling ourselves before the Lord, supplication. The scripture says in Acts 1:14, these all continued with one accord in prayer. I've noticed this about the early church. That's the Acts 2, the James was written to the early church. It said to the 12 scribes, tribes scattered abroad. So the early church was a praying church, unlike a lot of churches today. The Corinthian church, the best I can see, was not a real praying church, but Paul told them to pray, to pray, to pray. And by the way, every chapter in 1 Corinthians is dealing with some kind of problem that the church had. And the ultimate end of that thing is get that thing before the Lord in prayer, get your old heart right, and move on with your life. But that's kind of, the Corinthian church is more like the church of today, where the early church, they could pray and see the place shaken. You say, could we see that today? I think there's probably been some missionaries and people in different places and could give testimony that they prayed and God heard and God changed and God moved. You say, well, how come it takes so long for God to hear us? It doesn't take long for God to hear us. He hears us immediately. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. He knoweth the thought afar off, the Bible says. But he bid us communicate with him. He knows your every need. He knows our maladies and our disappointments. He knows our sicknesses and our troubles and problems. He knows all about it. But because God created us to fellowship with him, he has given us the vehicle of prayer to communicate with him. And he wants to hear from you about the needs that he already knows about. You say, well, that don't make sense. Yeah, it does. Father and a mother raise children, and you know those kids come along and they're growing up and there's things they need and you know they need them, and they'll finally say, Dad, I can't get my shoes on anymore. They hurt my feet terrible. Well, you knew his feet were growing or her feet were growing. Well, we better do something about that. So you take them down and get them a new pair of shoes, about three sizes bigger than they need, so they can grow into that. You know, shoes were expensive back in those days. God works the same way. He knows our needs, but he wants to hear us. It's about communicating with the Lord. It's about being one-on-one with God. It's about humbling ourselves before the just and almighty God and being in a state of prayer or supplication, being humble before the Lord. So he says, these all continue in one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Some folks say, well, when we fast as a church, is that for women too? Sure it is. For anybody that'll fast. There's no nothing that says that just certain folks can fast. He'll spell it out if he wants us to know. I like what he says in Ephesians 6. He says in verse 18, praying always. Now, get a hold of that. Always? You know, there are times throughout the day that our mind is totally bombarded by the world. And if we're not careful, we'll go for hours and not even recognize the fact that we should probably be in prayer and then wonder why we're thinking all these crazy thoughts when you've been thinking about all the crazy thoughts. Praying always with all prayer, and the word is used, supplication. And then he says, in the Spirit. Say, what's the Spirit got to do with it? The Spirit of God, and that's a capital S personified there in Ephesians, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. He's able to make groanings and utterances for us when we find ourselves in a state of prayer and supplication, when you don't know exactly what to say, but you know you have a need, and then you're praying is with supplications and the Spirit, because he helpeth our infirmities, and you got to let the Spirit have his way a little bit. Say, well, what? I've never heard of that kind of prayer. Well, it's the kind of prayer. It's, and I'll get on this in just a moment. It's intercessory prayer. That's my next point, but let me finish this one. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, there's the word used again, supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Yet we'll go day after day after day, week after week after week, and the best we can do is bow our head when we're driving down the road and say, maybe not even pray at all, just say in our mind, God, help me today. I'm an idiot. I'm a mess. You got to take care of me, and we need to pray that once in a while. But I just got a feeling there ought to be a time throughout the day that you could get alone with God and where nobody else is around and nobody else sees you except the Holy Ghost of God. And you pour your heart out to God and say, God, I need you. Preachers find times to pray. Now, when you got a house full of kids, and we don't have anybody anymore, just two of us, but we both find time to lock ourselves someplace and go pray. You know, when the kids were all in the house running everywhere, you know, knocking on the doors and, you know, I thought the bathroom would be a safe haven. I could go in there and pray. No. Dad, are you in there? How long are you going to stay? You going to stay in there? Why in the shower? Shower song, the water's running around. I'd be down on my face in the shower with the water running. You say, naked? God saw you naked? Pretty humbling, isn't it? Praying and saying, God, I need you. And I'm going to have to get up and turn the water off, or I'm going to have to buy more water, and kids probably got to go to the bathroom. Say, what? That's a place to pray that you don't tell anybody else about, where you can pour your heart out to God with prayer and supplications, humility. You may find another place. You might, maybe there's nobody around and you can pray. A lot of times we have an hour commute to work all my life that I worked. And I would love to be by myself, because I could pray in my car out loud. You need to pray out loud. You say, why? Number one, you need to hear what you have to say. And the devil needs to hear it. That you're trusting God and not the world, the flesh, or him. Now, prayer and supplication. Now, I've got another passage here, Hebrews 5, 7. Now, she that is a widow indeed and desolate trusteth in God and continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. As an illustration there. I'm sorry, that was 1 Timothy 5, 5. Then Hebrews 5, 7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard, and that he feared. You know, tears are missing in our prayers today. Now, that Wednesday night, there were some tears. Amen. Say, a lot of times if there's no tears, then we wonder how heartfelt it is. We're emotional beings. Things move us. We're moved by what we love and what we fear. So that is prayer and supplication. Let me for a moment talk about intercessions or intercessory prayer. The word intercession, and that's in our text, he says, therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, then intercessions, and that's what I want, intercessions, and giving of thanks. That's what we're dealing with. Now let's deal with intercessions. Definition for the term intercession means, or intercessory prayer is the act of praying to God on behalf of others. That's what we were doing Wednesday night, praying not only for ourselves, but for others. So intercessory prayer, according to the scriptures, is definition in Western Christianity. Intercession forms a distinct form of prayer alongside of adoration, the prayer of adoration, the prayer of confession, and the prayer of thanksgiving. I'm not talking about adoration, but the Psalms is full of that. I adore thee, so on and so forth, as David come before the throne of God with humility, supplication, and thanksgiving. Confession, there ain't a prophet any place in the Word of God that doesn't come before God and confess not only his sins, but the sins of the whole nation of Israel. We have been a wicked people. You say, what's he doing? He's praying with intercessory prayer, which is praying for somebody else. Who he's praying with supplications, and it says strong tears and crying. What's that about? That's somebody doing business with God, somebody serious, pouring their heart out. So Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's what I was talking about before. We know not what we should pray for as we ought. Sometimes we don't, but we know we're commanded to pray always. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That's the Lord doing something on your part. It's called an intercessory prayer because of your state of prayer, your state of mind, your state of heart. At that moment, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God that indwells you, prays for you through the request that you can't even speak. How about that? Have you just never had the words to say but wanted to say something that would glorify God? You're getting close. Just no words for it. You were overwhelmed with, in our case, because we're emotional beings, we're overwhelmed with emotion and don't know exactly what's going on, but we know this, God's in control. That book says to always pray, and it says in prayer and supplication. And so when you fall on your face and cry out to God, and the only thing that you can get out is a couple squeaks and some strong crying and some tears, it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost of God, that makes intercessory prayer to God the Father, the Lord, on your behalf. That's praying. And a lot of folks, we just meet, hold hands in a circle and pray, and that's it. That's a prayer, but it's not exactly all there is to prayer. Romans 8, 26, and then verse 27, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. You have to allow the Holy Spirit in to know your mind. I know this about all men everywhere. Don't care how holy they appear. Don't care how many titles is on his name. Don't care how well they're known. I know this from the scripture. The heart is desperately wicked. And who can know it? The Spirit of God can know it. The Word of God can discern it. And if you don't allow the Spirit of God to... David cried out to the Lord, try me and see if there be any wicked thing in me. Say, what's that? That's a man praying, man. That's a man getting a hold of God. That's a man saying, I know I'm a mess. I know I've sinned. I know I should be headed for death this instant. And David done things that he should have died for. But God said, he's a man after my own heart. And let me say this. A lot of folks, their heart is not a heart after God. So when they pray, it's just idle talking. When they pray, it's not the real thing. When they pray, nothing shakes. When they pray, nothing happens. When they pray, nobody gets saved. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about prayer, supplication, and intercession. Do you allow the Holy Spirit to intercede on your part? If we don't, we're not in the state of prayer that we should be. Now, that's verse 27 of Romans 8. Romans 8, 34, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. The Lord intercedes on our behalf. I think it's more of such a thing as Job and the devil. And the devil told the Lord, when the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, well, you know, if you let me have him a while, I make him curse you. And now that Christ is our intercessor, he is, and we read it earlier in our text, and we'll run out of time before we get there. He is the mediator between man and God. You say, what's he doing? He is interceding on our part for us. Aren't you glad you have a representative? It's a legal representative. It's a holy representative. It's like having a holy lawyer representing you in the highest court in the land before God the Father said, he's okay, she's okay. They're under the blood. They're under the blood. The devil's put a lot on them, but I've put more in them than the devil can put on them. They're okay, and he's interceding on your part. You talk about an encouragement. That's why he tells us to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy in our time of need. And so we come. Do we deserve it? No, we don't deserve it. But in the legality of it, if you're a child of God and considered a son with those kinds of attachment that come with the son, then you come, that's a child, a son, like the firstborn, a double portion. You've got that kind of privilege when you come before God. If you're a woman, if you're a child, if you're a man, and you say, God, because I'm your child, I'm your son, you called me a son, help me, take care of me. See, what is that? That's praying with supplication and intercession and allowing the Holy Spirit of God to intercede on your part and allowing the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we're said to be in, whom we are in, to represent you before the very throne of God. Say, what is it? Prayer. God hath not cast away his people, Romans 11, 2, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying? See, what was he doing? He interceded on Israel's part. Moses interceded on the children of Israel's part. The prophets of God, Hezekiah, interceded on the people of God. Jeremiah the prophet interceded on the people's part. All these prophets coming all the way. Daniel prayed and he confessed the sins of the people before the Lord and he interceded on the part. Guess what? Your preachers and your pastors and your prayer leaders ought to intercede on your part. Say, what is that? That's a hedge, a prayed hedge about those that are in need. Pray for your well-being. Pray for your spirituality. Pray for your growth. You say, what are we doing? We're praying for the church. And I don't know what happened to it, but I had a, it's obsolete now. We had a picture book here. Remember when we took all those pictures years ago? They put our mug shots in there. That was my prayer book. I leaf through that thing and I could pray for everybody. Sit there in my easy chair and go through that thing and pray and look at them pictures and say, oh my God, they really need prayer. Look at that. And then I seen myself and said, oh God, help me. Look, that's terrible. Bonnie asked me this morning. No, I asked her, I said, how you feeling? She said, feeling 70. I said, I am too, honey. You get up feeling 70, man. Now, if you're 75, I'll intercede on your part and pray. God, pray. We should be a praying church. Giving of thanks. And I won't be able to finish this, but there's two verses I'll give you and I'll quit. He says in our little text there in verse 1, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. Always come before the Lord with thanksgiving, I would say. Ephesians 1:16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. There he's interceding on our part, but he's also thanking God for them. Then 1 Thessalonians 1:2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. He's interceding on their part, and in his prayers he's mentioning them, and he's thankful for them. You say, why? We ought to be thankful for one another this year. Thankful for the folks that got out last night. Thankful for the people that made the revival. Thankful for the people that have a need and that show up and that we feel a responsibility for. So praying, and I didn't do it justice, but hopefully you got a little something out of that and you'll read that in a little better light and you'll pray without ceasing. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Such a wonderful God to us. We praise you today. And ask you to have your way in our service. Bless our pastor. Bless the singers and the singing. Bless the message and save sinners. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.